Hi, I'm Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Welcome to the Least of These podcast. We reach out to those the world has forgotten. If you'd like to know more about us and how you can donate to help us fulfill our mission, go to hisloveministries.net. Thank you very much and God bless you.
Well, I'm going to move over to the book of James this morning, and we'll be back in John next week. But this morning, I just want to spend a few minutes in James chapter 2. Starting in about verse 14, I know sometimes people get confused about how faith and works go together. Sometimes that can be the difference between somebody going to heaven and somebody going to hell, because a lot of people confuse the fact that you have to do something to get into heaven, that works contribute to your salvation. And the Bible tells you in Hebrews, and I was trying to figure out this morning, I was wanting to teach on Hebrews, and James came to my mind, and I figured, well, just thought about it a while ago. I said, well, you know what, I'm going to use a little bit of both, because they really go together. Let's talk about that this morning. You know, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 6, he says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So I want to read James chapter 2, and I want to read verses 14 through about 26, and we'll kind of mix a little bit of James, a little bit of Hebrews together, and see how it goes this morning. He says, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says, notice he says, if someone says, he has faith but does not have works, can this faith save him, or can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and be filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. If someone will say, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works, show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Let's work on this a minute this morning. James says here, we want to see three different kinds of faith. We want to see dead faith, demonic faith, and then we'll see dynamic faith. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning, try to get that covered this morning. He says, what does it profit, my brethren? He's talking to his brothers and sisters, the Jewish people, and possibly brothers and sisters in Christ. He says, if someone says... Notice he says, if someone says he has faith, right? But he does not have works. And so a lot of people today, if you ask them how they were getting to heaven, they would say, well, I'm trying to be good. I'm do more good than bad. And I'm not as bad as these other people. And you know, God knows my heart. But, you know, the Bible says here, he says, what does it profit if someone says he has faith, but he does not have works? And over and over and over again, he says, can this faith save him? And then he backs it up by saying, if a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart and be warmed and be filled, but he does not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. So basically what James says here is, you know, people will say, well, you know, I'm going to heaven by doing good works, or I'm going to try to keep the Ten Commandments, and I do this and I do that. And what's that old saying? You can talk the talk, but can you walk the walk, right? What James is dealing with here is people who say that they're going to heaven, But what they've done is they just have a profession. They are saying that they know God. They say they're going to heaven, but their life does not back it up. And the reason their life does not back it up is because they don't have the works. They don't have the fruit. What is that verse? The Bible says, by their what? Their fruit you shall know them, right? That's in Matthew chapter 7. John chapter 15, Jesus says in that chapter that he is the vine and we are the branches, and without me you can do nothing, right? And he says that, but he said that if you are of the vine and you're of the branches, then you will bear much fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, some 100-fold. And we've talked about fruit as good works, the way we act. You know, you can talk about the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, temperance. All those are the fruit of the Spirit. Those are the things that come out of you because of what God has put in you. In other words, if you've trusted Jesus Christ, that we're going to have evidence in our life that God has changed us. Some people, it's real evident. Sometimes people are pretty rough and pretty bad, and maybe they live it out on the street and they've done drugs and everything else in the book. And those people, it's real easy to see that they've been saved, because next thing you know, they're not doing drugs, they're not doing all those things that they used to do, and it becomes very evident that something's happened to them. Now, we've seen some people. There was an older lady at one of the facilities I used to visit, and I think she was about 96 at the time, 94, 95, something like that. And she was pretty rough. She was pretty mean, you know. But after she got saved, she was a totally different person, you know. And she wasn't mean and nasty. She's still every once in a while, you know, get a little whatever. We all do. But you know, it was a total different change. You knew something happened to her, right? And you can see that. But some of us, we were raised in the church and we didn't have all these big things happen in our lives. And, you know, maybe we got saved when we were younger. But you know what? The Bible tells us that we can look at our lives, that we don't have to doubt our salvation if we're truly saved. Because 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, just as the book of John, which we've been studying, he wrote it that we might have eternal life because we believed that Jesus is God, and believing in him, you know, we might have eternal life, that Jesus is God and trusted in him and him alone. That's what we call faith, right? That's why the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. We just trust God that Jesus is the only way to get to heaven. We can't do it. We can't earn it. We can't deserve it. We can't pay for it. And that's what Ephesians chapter 2 says, right? You, by grace you have been saved, verse 8 and 9, through faith. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. But then verse 10 says, for we are God's workmanship, his masterpiece, his work in progress, created to do good works. So we were created to do good works, but we're not saved by good works. And so many people get confused on that. But then some people will say, well, I'm saved, but I there's no evidence in my life. And that's what this person is saying here, that I'm going to heaven, but there's no evidence of a change inside the life. And so if we have trusted in Jesus Christ, asked him to forgive us and asked him to save us because of what he did, because he's God, then all we have to do is just bank on that, right? What is the old saying? You can take that to the bank. Because you know what? God said it, and God cannot lie. Isn't that what Hebrews says? Hebrews says that it is impossible for God to lie. And so God promised all the way back in Genesis chapter 3, Genesis chapter 15, that whoever believes in Jesus Christ, ultimately that was kind of what the promise was. It wasn't revealed totally then, that we would go to heaven if we trusted in God, because we would become Abraham's children. But he's saying here, if a man or a woman says they have faith, but they don't have any evidence in their life that anything's changed, then you have to ask yourself, be like 1 Corinthians 13 says, examine yourselves to see whether you're in the faith or not, right? And my point today is not really to, is not to make you doubt your salvation. But my point today is I hope and pray, because, you know, I know some of you at times as you get older and you get sick and things, and the lady down the hall here had kind of doubted hers, and, you know, won't call any names, but we don't have to doubt if we've really truly trusted in Jesus Christ. If we're trusting in works or baptism or church membership or something we've done or hadn't done, then we got a problem. But if we're looking to Jesus and Jesus alone, by faith alone, and Christ alone, and that's it, then we don't have to worry about it. And that's part of what I wanted to do today is, you know, just kind of encourage y'all and lift y'all up. And if there's doubts, you know, it doesn't hurt to say, God, you know, I'm not sure. Forgive me and save me and take me to heaven one day, because I believe Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And I can't get there but by him, if you got a doubt. And then just when you pray that, just say, okay, God, you said if I call on your name that you would hear and you would answer, right? And then you just say, thank you, God, that you forgive me and you've saved me. And I'm going to heaven one day because of Jesus. And then you just nail it to the floor and say, it's done. It's over. God said it. I believe it. That's it. But these people, they're saying, you know, that they just talk the talk. You've seen people, they talk and they run their mouth and say, well, I'm going to heaven and this, that, and the other. But when you look at their life, they don't help anybody. All they care about is themselves. And they never do anything. And that's what he says here, that if you say you have faith, but then you tell somebody, well, go take care of yourself, depart and be warmed and be filled. In other words, you don't want to help them any at all, right? There's times we have to be careful who we help and don't help, you know. But what he's saying is that you have consideration for other people. Does that make sense to you? That's one of the fruits of the Spirit. Love and joy and peace, and then long-suffering. Long-suffering means you put up with people. Patience has to do with circumstances. He says if you have that kind of faith, is not really a real faith, because faith that doesn't show itself in the way we live, the way we act, the way we think, is not real faith. James goes on to say, one man will say that I have faith, you have faith, and I have works, and show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. That's verse 18. And basically what he says is that you have to have both. You can't just have one. When faith comes, it's always accompanied by works. There's a old saying that says you're saved by faith alone, but the faith that saves is never alone. It's always accompanied by good works, and that's what the Bible says. One man put it this way. He said that faith is sort of like, the works is sort of like P.S., thank you, God, for what you did for me. That we work because of what he's done for us, right? There's a verse I heard a couple of days ago, and I can't remember where it's at, that Jesus was telling one of the Pharisees and said she's been forgiven much, so she loves much. And so because she has been forgiven so many sins, she was a harlot and all that she had much love, much work that she did for God, because she knew what God had done for her. And that's what we need to remember, is we don't work to be saved, but work because we're saved. It's the proof that we've been saved. And then James says in verse 19, you believe that there is one God? I mean, how many people just say, yeah, I believe in Jesus, I believe in God? That doesn't get you to heaven, because look what he says. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. Remember the demons? They said, Jesus, our Son of God, have you come to torment us before the time? I mean, they said that to Jesus. They said, are you the Son? You are the Son of God? And one of them says, you know, they said, cast us into the pigs. Even the demons believe in God. They know there's a Jesus is God. But you know what? The demons aren't going to heaven, are they? And that's because even though they believe, they have never trusted in Christ as their Lord and Savior. They can't. There's no way that they can do that. He says, but do you want to know, verse 20, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead. And then he gives the example. He's going to give us two examples. Abraham was the greatest man in the Jewish line of people up to this time. Abraham was the man. I mean, everybody looked to Abraham. And Abraham is like the father of the faith. And he is. But you know what? If you went back and looked at Romans chapter 2 and 3 and 4, you would see that Abraham was saved by faith, that he believed. And that's what we'll see right here. And then you'll see it in Hebrews chapter 11. And he says, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered his Isaac, his son, on the altar? See, we got two kinds of things we're dealing with here. There's the faith for God, where we say before God, I trust Jesus Christ. I want to go to heaven because I know he did what he did on that cross was enough to get me into heaven. That's the faith in Jesus, right? But what he's saying here, was he not justified? Or that word justified means to be legally declared righteous. What he's saying is before men and women, he was proven that he had been truly saved, is what he's saying. That works are the evidence. Works are the proof. The way your life is lived is the proof that you're going to heaven. When you look at your life, you can see that God has done a work in your life. I mean, it's kind of like this. You know, before you're saved, you live a certain life and you think it's okay to do certain things. But when you get saved, God will put his finger on stuff in your life and say, you can't do this. That's not right. And you will feel guilty about it. And you'll feel convicted about it. And because you feel convicted about it, what you going to do? You will do something about it, right? Because God puts his finger on it. And you just can't keep living that way and be comfortable. Now, the people that aren't saved, they can live any way they want to. And it doesn't bother them, right? They go out and do anything they want to. And it's kind of like, well, I shouldn't be doing that. Or I need to change my life. But they don't really do it, and they really don't have the ability to change their life. But God, because he lives in us, if we're saved, he lives in us, then we have the ability to change. And so he says, even the demons believe. And he says, the way Abraham proved that he was saved is because he went and took his son and he put him on the altar. And if you go to the book of Hebrews, It will tell you that Abraham believed that God could even raise his son up from the dead, doesn't it? It says that Abraham believed that if need be, that God could raise his son back from the dead. And that's what he believed. That if he needed to, that he would raise him up from the dead. You know, when we look at this, we see that God wants us to trust him and to believe in him. And you know, it's an amazing thing that God allows us to be part of his salvation. But we really don't have to doubt, folks. And I know some of you maybe possibly doubt. And if you do, if you got questions and you want to talk to me sometime, I'd be glad to spend time with you if you need me to and talk about this if you don't understand it. But the bottom line is you can't just say mentally, I believe in God and go to heaven. There has to be, the whole body has to be involved. There has to be a time and a place where you said, you know, I know that I'm a sinner. I know I can't make it to heaven on my own. God, forgive me. God, save me. Please come into my life and take me to heaven one day because of what Jesus did. That I can't get there on my own. See, the problem is when people start thinking they can get to heaven on their own. And they say, you know, I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it by the skin of my teeth. You ever heard anybody say that? And they're sitting there, you know, got a cigarette in their hand and a beer in the other hand and every word in the book's flying out their mouth. But I'm going to make it to heaven. You know, I'm going to make it by the skin of my teeth, but I'm going to make it to heaven. And, you know, and I'm looking at their life and I'm going, well, you know, your life doesn't evidence that there's been a change. And I'm not saying you can't do some of that if you're saved. But what will happen as your life goes on, God will convict you and you begin to clean that stuff up in your life. And then you finally get to the place where you're working on thoughts and attitudes as you grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so James wants us to understand that Abraham proved he was saved by what he did with his life. And that whole Hebrews 11, you ought to go read that. It's just a great chapter, and it just talks about all the things that people did because they were saved. Not how they got saved, but what they did because they were saved, because they trusted in God and they had great faith. And so we don't have to doubt God. We don't have to wonder if he's with us. I mean, that's why the whole book of Hebrews ends in chapter 13 and says, he will never leave you or never forsake you, right? He will never leave you. That's chapter 13, verse 5. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you.
Hi, I'm Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Please help us reach out to those the world has forgotten. Everyone we minister to is locked up in some way, shape, or form. Those in the nursing home facilities are locked up in bodies that do not work, in a wheelchair, or in a bed. We minister to children and youth who are locked up because of behavioral problems. Some have told us we want to have a real family because their parents have lost or given up custody of them. Other kids are locked up because they've committed crimes. We also minister to those locked up at the jails and the prisons, to those locked up in addiction, to drugs, alcohol, depression, and suicidal thoughts, to those locked up in a variety of other things that keep them from becoming who Jesus wants them to be. He came to give us abundant life, joy, and set us free, and these people that we minister to are not free. Our desire is to show them, whatever their background, no matter what they've done, to see how much God loves them. We seek to help them receive forgiveness and freedom from their sin in Jesus Christ. We minister in the local area of Savannah, Georgia, and surrounding Effingham and Chatham area. We have recently expanded our ministry to the Lexington, Columbia, South Carolina area. We do over 2,000 services every year. We hope and pray that you will support us in some way that so we can continue our mission. Go to hisloveministries.net and click on the Donate Now button or send it via regular mail to Post Office Box 1881, Lexington, South Carolina 29071. We hope and pray that you will do that. Thank you and God bless you. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. John 8:32.